Welcome, everyone, including our replay viewers. Stand by as we get our streams going and we notify everyone that we are live. We hope you'll share your feedback, and I will get everything together here on any of the topics that we talk about. So feel free to comment on Facebook, on Twitter, on live chat, on YouTube as well, on any of the topics we discuss so that you can truly activate your voices. Now give me a minute to pull up the show on my computer. So just give me 1 second to do that. And Delaine Adams is sitting right next to me, so I'll let him say hello.
Yeah, I'm gonna hurry up and get rid of this peppermint in my mouth.
So uh-oh.
Let's start the show.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a lot to talk about, don't you? We're not going to give it away, but...
One big pressing issue.
It is. And so many of our members... Here we are. I have the stream up there. There we go. All right. Let me check the time. We have about a minute before we come. We have a special guest today in our studio. Nikisha Lewis from the AFL-CIO is going to be talking to us about the upcoming Martin Luther King Jr. Civil and Human Rights Conference, which is coming up a little over a week from now. So she'll give us a preview. And we're also going to talk to Rick Pease, our local lodge president from IAM Local 2068.
Yes.
So it's 3 o'clock. Let's get started.
Activate your voice. Fight for your rights. Speak up.
Speak out.
We're union and we're proud.
Go Union.
Live from Maryland, this is Activate Live.
Welcome to Activate Live, our weekly show about the Machinist Union, organized labor, and working people. I'm Tanya Hutchins, coming to you live from the Robert J. Kolaski Studio at our Maryland headquarters. We have a lot in store for you today, including an update on the Silgan strike in Rochelle, Illinois, and a preview of the AFL-CIO's Martin Luther King Conference in Washington, D.C. But first, here's Delaine Adams with the latest labor news. We have day 19 of the federal shutdown here in the United States.
Day 19 of a needless shutdown. We have more than 800,000 federal workers and contractors, including many NEFI, IAM, and IAM members affected by this partial shutdown. Right now, what we're facing is members and their families are about to face their first payday without a paycheck this week. So we're asking everybody out there to please... in the comment box on Facebook, make sure you show solidarity with all the workers who are affected by the shutdown. You see the nice graphic up there, stop the shutdown. And we're asking everybody to call their senators at 1-866-803-8830.
Hang on 1 second. I'm dialing this number, okay. And I want to see if we can hear what is said.
The AFL-CIO government shutdown legislative hotline. The House of Representatives passed reasonable, common-sense legislation to reopen and fund the government, but Mitch McConnell and Senate Republicans refused to bring it up for a vote. Every day the government stays closed, hundreds of thousands of dedicated public employees go without pay. In a moment, you'll be connected to your U.S. Senator's office. Ask your senator to reopen the government and put hundreds of thousands of public employees back to work.
There you go.
Yeah. This is what we need to get everybody back to work. Again, like I mentioned, we have federal workers, but we also have federal contractors who are affected by this. And there's no guarantee that the federal contractors will get back pay if any type of legislation is passed. So, again, we need to make sure everybody's taken care of, everybody gets back to work, and we stop this unnecessary fighting that's going on. In Washington, D.C.
And we know most of the people in this country, in the United States, live paycheck to paycheck. So this is about putting food on the table, gas in the car, medical bills, survival.
And most of the people affected by the shutdown, again, they live outside the area. But for people in this area, we have a rally coming up. If you live in the D.C. area, we have a rally tomorrow. At the AFL-CIO, it's a rally to end the government shutdown. See it January 10th from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the AFL-CIO headquarters at 815 16th Street Northwest here in D.C., right close to the White House. And we're just going to make sure that voices are heard about ending the shutdown. People want to go back to work. People are stressed out about how long this shutdown could last. And great job by NEFI IAM and IAM for getting the word out from our members about how the shutdown will affect them. And so again, we need to make sure that our voices are heard loud and clear, not only at this rally, but make sure it's heard in local communities across the nation.
Well, we're expecting a lot of people at this rally from several different unions, and hopefully some people from the general public will stop by as well.
Yes, I think it's, this is...
And we'll have speakers from the IAM.
We will. We will have a few speakers from the IAM. And again, this is a nice coalition that has come together in order to put this event on. Thank you to AFGE and NEFI IAM for co-hosting this. And again, for the AFL-CIO for hosting this rally tomorrow. So
we have to work together.
We do have to work together. And President Martinez put out a statement today. And again, he's making sure that our members are taken care of. And basically in the statement, he says, the patience of IAM and NEFI IAM members is being tested. The politics being played by our elected officials is sickening and downright disrespectful. Our members provide vital services every day, and they do their jobs with honor and dignity. Our members and their families should not have to suffer because of bitter partisanship battles. This shutdown must end now before it causes further damage to America's economy and our working families. If politicians want to have a debate about the wall or border security, they should not do it on the backs of our federal workers and their families. I call on President Trump and the United States Senate to do the right thing and put our federal workers back to work. And that's a statement from President Martinez. So. And we have many resources on the Go IAM website to help out. And Union Plus, we just added Union Plus webinar, Union Plus's webinar to our website as well. So again, if you're a government worker out there or a federal contractor affected by this shutdown, please go to the website. And then again, we're all affected because we all rely on the important services provided by our members. So again, please show solidarity in the comments on Facebook. Again, we stand with our IAM and NEFI IAM members who are being affected by this unnecessary shutdown.
We have a comment already from Ramon Garcia saying, my wife is TSA. She is on mandatory overtime and not getting paid. Call your senator today. And that's the number,
1-866-803. Yes.
I dropped it already.
Yes.
But you saw the number up there.
866-803-8830.
Okay. Thank you, Ramon, for commenting. 866-803-8830.
All right.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Delaney.
Have a great show.
Thanks. Well, for more than a month, more than 170 workers at Silgan Containers in Rochelle, Illinois, have been on strike after rejecting the company's contract offer. IAM Local 2068 President Rick Pease joins us now with the latest. Thanks for taking the time, Rick, for out of your day to join us.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Well, Rick, first, tell us a little bit about Silgan Containers as a company.
Silgan Containers in the United States has about 30 plants, including one in Puerto Rico. They make roughly 15 billion metal food containers in the United States. Our facility alone makes roughly 2 billion easy open ends. Our products are mostly Hormel, Campbell's Soup, Progresso, things of that nature.
So these are types of products that we have in our cupboards and in our pantries, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, it's an important role in the food industry.
Now, what types of jobs do our workers do specifically at the plant in Illinois?
At our plant, we have production mechanics, which include the coding departments, the press department. We have electricians, machinists, quality control, end packers, coder stackers, general laborers, forklift drivers, sorters. That makes up all of our employees or members at the Rochelle plant.
Now, this strike has been going on for about a month now. What are the sticking points?
Our main sticking points are they want us to go to COBRA when we go on long-term disability. For 18 years, we've had past practice of just being able to pay our premiums to keep our insurance. So those people, in their greatest time of need, we feel that's very important. One of the other sticking points is they are raising our insurance premiums up $20, and they don't want to give us wage compensation to cover that. Our insurance has been going up probably the same amounts every year for the last 12 years, and we're to the point now we make less than we did, or we bring home less than we did 10 years ago. So enough is enough in our eyes.
So that's taken up any wage increases that has happened over those 12 years, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we bring home less now than we did 10 years ago. And for a company who has annual sales of $4 billion, it's kind of a come to a corporate greed thing, I believe.
Yeah, that comes to a pay cut. And you were about to mention another sticking point.
Our third sticking point is our new hires are on a short-term disability, have a fixed wage when they go out. It's roughly less than 40% of their wage. We would like to see that bumped up to at least 60%. That way they at least have a livable wage when they're out on sick leave.
So what is your message to the company today?
Our message to the company is, you know, we're not asking for much. We just like to have a positive contract. We like to see everybody have a livable wage when they're out sick. So for a company who has record profits and takes care of their shareholders instead of their workers, we are the backbone of the company, and we'd like to be treated as such.
Speaking of the backbone of the company, what do you want our members to know as they go through this strike?
So our members, we're standing tall, very proud to be a part of it. I'm proud to stand before each and every one of them. This makes me very proud to see their strength and solidarity come together. It means a lot. Our community is supports us, as well as everyone in our union. It's a great feeling to have that solidarity.
You see some of that solidarity on the screen. Ryan Kelly is commenting, "Stay strong, Rick Pease, in 2068. So not only, you know, locally, but we have members out there supporting you because they know what it means to stand up for livable wages. What else are you hearing on the ground?
So we've only negotiated one time since we went on December 8th, and that was last week. We're waiting to hear for more dates from the company. So unfortunately, they don't seem to want to come back to the table too quick.
So the current status is a wait and see? Try to get them back? Is there anything else you want people to know, Rick?
No, I don't think so. We just appreciate everybody's support for us, and it means a lot, and we'll pay it forward when the time comes.
Okay, well, thank you so much taking time out. Rick Pease, I am Local 2068 President, coming to us from our Midwest Territory. And let's give our Midwest Territory members some support. Give them a shout out. I bet you have some products made by our members in your pantry or your cupboard. We have Kevin Murch there saying solidarity with Local 2068. And you too can let us know what you think by commenting on this video. We'd like to hear from you watching at home, even during the replay. Hang in there, everybody in our Midwest Territory in Illinois. Well, in less than 10 days, the AFL-CIO will host its Martin Luther King Jr. Civil and Human Rights Conference in Washington, D.C. It takes place January 18th to the 21st, and hundreds of social justice professionals, activists, Community leaders will be there, along with labor leaders and rank-and-file members. Well, AFL-CIO Director of Civil and Human Rights, Nikisha Lewis, is here to give us a preview, and she joins us right here in our studio. Thanks for being here, Nikisha.
Thanks for having me.
So what is the theme this year?
So this year's theme for the conference is the fierce urgency of now. Since about 1998 or so, for the last 25 plus years, the AFL-CIO has hosted, along with our affiliates across the country and our constituency groups, the Civil and Human Rights Conference in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. As I'm sure everyone is aware, we share a really special relationship and bond with the King family, as Dr. King was a major champion of economic justice and of workers' rights. And so he is one of the heroes that we definitely want to make sure that we're always lifting up and honoring. And, you know, as we've gone through the years, we've always looked at, you know, it's just key sayings of Dr. King, right? We know that he's got some amazing sound bites that always have been serving as different sort of North Stars for us at different points in our journey towards justice as a nation. And so this year we were thinking really strategically about what our members are feeling around the country, right? And I think that as the days go on and we get closer and closer to this conference, we're even more and more convinced that we've chosen the right theme. And so this year's theme is the fierce urgency of now. I think, I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that, as you were saying earlier in your broadcast, we're in the midst of almost the second longest running government shutdown. And we know that that affects our members across the country. You've had some folks, you know, write in and already talk about that. And so there is no more urgent a time than now for our membership to come together, for us to be talking about what justice looks like for working people around the country and how we collectively get to come together and not only lift up unions and lift up working people, but make sure that working America's voice is heard. And so we brought the conference back to Washington, D.C. We typically take the conference to different cities around the country where our membership is, but we wanted to be in the Beltway. We wanted to be in, you know, the seat of power, if you will, so that our membership could be here and to make sure that that folks on the Hill, that folks in Washington know that our voices matter. We're here and we're not going anywhere, and the time is indeed urgent.
You know, we've known for a while that civil rights, human rights, and workers' rights are tied together, and it's been more than, I guess, 26 years since the 1963 March on Washington. Mm-hmm. Why is it so important to take a look at the fact that we are still divided all these years later?
So, I mean, part of the challenge that I think we're confronted with as a people is really understanding that as we've made changes, as we've made progress, if you will, I like to think about, you know, Dr. King also saying the arc of moral justice bends, or I think maybe it's the arc of morality bends towards justice, that, you know, we're always moving and we're always making progress, but sometimes we also are taking steps backwards, right? And that means that we're going to have people who are on different sides of issues. We also have to remember that as we're working together, right, that we're making strides towards actually achieving that which matters most to us. And the reality is that there are people around America right now who can't feed their families. There are folks who are working and still aren't earning enough, right? That with, you know, quite frankly, the attacks on unions and wanting folks not to be able to organize in the workplace, that we also are going to see diminishes in safety, right? We're going to see, not only for working people, but we're going to see, quite frankly, like with the TSA spouse who just called in, that there's challenges now that going to be at the airport, right? So we think about our frontline workers who don't have support. And so whether or not, you know, folks are on different sides of an issue, I think we can always agree that working people matter, right? We're all working, and we all want to make sure that we're able to take care of our families, and that's a value that we should all share. And hopefully that's something that unites us and brings us together.
Okay, I misspoke. I don't know where 26 years came from, but it's been more than 50 years that we've been divided, and it is so important that we do know that there is strength in numbers. There's power in numbers, you know, 50 years later dealing with some of the same issues.
Well, not only are there power in numbers, but we've always seen that when we come together, we win, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, folks have asked me, particularly, you know, my generation, I'm under 40, you know, why do unions matter, right? Why does it matter that people have the right to collectively bargain? Why does it matter that people have the right to strike? Well, we know that when we raise our voices, not just as one person, there's something that I can say as Nikisha, but when you and I join together and we bring others with us, then we're actually a much louder chorus and people listen to us, right? So it almost doesn't matter the issue, but a united voice is always heard, and a heard voice voice almost always wins.
I'm so inspired by young people now that are learning about unions. They may not be learning about it in schools as much as in the past, but we're seeing protests and rallies with teenagers and 20-somethings, and I just think that's so inspiring, and I'm sure we'll see them at the MLK conference.
You'll definitely see them, and we'll also take the opportunity at the conference to remind people of the historic relationship between the traditional civil rights movement and the labor movement, right? There's no coincidence and there's no accident that many of our tactics are the same and that they look similar, right? If we think about the sanitation workers' strike of about 1967, which is where Dr. King actually delivered the mountaintop speech, where he talked about the fierce urgency of now, from which we draw our inspiration for this year's conference. You know, there were the traditional civil rights workers, but while the sanitation workers were even deciding to go on strike, one of the first, you know, official organizations to get behind them was the NAACP, right? And so when we think about the history of unions marching with, but also partnering with civil rights organizations, that's how we get here, right? This 50-year-plus journey of us working side by side together because we understand that our struggles are inextricably linked.
Now let's go day by day through our schedule, because we have some of the events that are going to be taking place. We don't have the full agenda, but we're starting on Friday, January 18th, correct?
Yes, so we want to leave some element of surprise for everyone who's still coming to the conference, but our conference will officially begin on Friday afternoon. We're going to be here in D.C. at the Washington Hill, and then immediately following that conversation, our organized base, as we've been talking about. And so those three issues this year will be around voting rights. So we're going to be talking about what it means for working people to own the ballot and to take us forward into 2019 and beyond. Excuse me, we'll also be focusing on women's leadership across movements, and we'll also be looking at community organizing, so organizing working people for a stronger America.
Okay, that sounds great and jam-packed as well. If we move on to Saturday, what's happening then?
So what's really special and unique this year, because we brought the conference back to D.C., we have the opportunity to merge forces with the Women's March. So as I'm sure most of America knows, the Women's March first hit D.C. in 2017, and they're going to be coming back for an encore, organize the effort of women from across the country, lifting up that, we know many people have saying that we're coming off of the year of the woman, right? 2018 was the year of the woman, but as we sit here in D.C., many working women head households and are not receiving their wages because of the government shutdown. And so that's not only impacting women, but it's impacting working families. And so we're going to use this opportunity to partner with the Women's March to really lift up working women as part of the conference. So we'll march with them on Saturday.
Great.
And then at the top of the day on Sunday, what has always been a hallmark of this conference is our interfaith service. We give honor and tribute to the fact that Dr. King was also a pastor, and so that faith has always played an integral role in the labor movement. And so we'll follow the interfaith service with a plenary discussion around how we build an intersectional movement that highlights organizing, community, labor, and the faith community.
Excellent. Now you have workshops, and I know you told me earlier that the workshops will last past 3:15, and they'll delve into a different
Yeah, so we'll spend the afternoon together having a series of workshops and training. So they're concurrent workshops. As participants register, they'll be able to choose which ones they go to. But we'll tackle a range of issues. We'll go even deeper on conversations like voting rights, but we'll also talk about how LGBTQ people are showing up in the labor movement, how young people are really taking their rightful place in organized labor. You name it, we'll really talk about it, the issues that are most important to our rank and file membership.
Okay, you have an awards ceremony in the evening.
Yes, so folks should know that in addition to all of the great fun we'll have going deep on content, this is our one opportunity that we come together every year to get gussied up and to honor some of the labor leaders among us, the folks who have really been working really hard and winning some hard-fought struggles. So I'm not going to ruin any surprises, give you something to enjoy when you get on site, but look out for some notices about who we're honoring this year. We're really proud of the folks who we're lifting up.
Okay, and the final day will be Monday, and for a lot of people, this is their favorite part. community service?
Yeah, so one of the things that I think, at least for me, and you know, forgive me for folks were saying this before the Obama administration, but one of the things that you know, President Barack Obama always said on ML King Day was that this was our not a day off, but a day on, right? Mm-hmm. And Dr. King was a man of service, and so, and we are people of service, and so we consider this Monday portion of our conference the service component, where we'll partner with local organizations here in the greater Washington area, and our members will go out into the community and we'll be serving happily.
That'll be great. I always enjoy that, so looking forward to it.
Well, we look forward to having you. This is, you know, for me, it's one of the highlights of the work that I get to do at the AFL-CIO, because I get to meet our members from across the country, and this is where we talk about, I think, where the rubber meets the road, right? It's where we really get fired up. Mm-hmm. We do a little bit of lamenting, right, what hasn't worked over the past year, but I am really excited. Our team has been working really hard, and I think that we've put together something that folks will really, really enjoy.
Now, before you leave, tell us a little bit about you and how you first became involved with unions.
How did I get here? So, really interesting story. I'm from Boston, and so folks who know Massachusetts and know the Boston area, you know that we're a union town. And so I grew up around unions my whole life, but neither one of my parents were actually in a union. And so I didn't really understand the structure and what that looked like until I started looking for a job. As a young person, came from working class parents, I needed to get a job as soon as I was able to. And what was mostly available for young people my age were fast food jobs, right? And so I didn't really want to do that. And as I was looking into that, this organization came into my vision, which was MassCOSH, Massachusetts Coalition on Occupational Safety and Health. And they started looking at the fact that young people who were working at fast food joints were actually there were unsafe working conditions. And so we started organizing young people around making sure that workplaces were safe and that folks were actually following labor law. And so that was my introduction to organized labor. I started working with Jobs with Justice and folks like that in my community. So I come to this work as an organizer, started organizing as a young person, and always understood and saw from that very first work, I think I was like around 14 or so,
wow,
what organized labor can do, what happens when people come together on behalf of working people. And so I'm really proud, several decades later, I won't tell you exactly how old I am, that I get to do this work, you know, in the quote unquote, the house of labor, right? And I actually get to serve the people who worked alongside my parents. My dad is a bricklayer, and so I'm really, really proud to be here. But the most important thing that I think is, you know, for folks to know about me is that I believe that organizing matters, and that organized people are strong people, and we're people that cannot be divided and we cannot be torn down. And so when we organize and we fight, we win.
Well, we are so glad to have you.
I'm happy to be here.
We look forward to the conference in a little bit over a week. And we'll bring you updates from the conference on our website and on our social media channels. So.
And there's still time to register,
yes,
so
yes.
please do so. We're finalizing our counts right now, but if you're out there watching or you're listening, go online. Our conference website is themlkconference.org. So that's themlkconference.org, and all the information is there. As we are making updates to our schedule, we post them there. So please do check out our website. All of the latest information is there. If you have any questions, you can also find contact information on the website.
That's right. And we have people coming from all over the country. So I've met people from all over in past conferences.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's really exciting for me. I've only been with the AFL-CIO for 6 months. And so most people I've only actually talked to on the phone. And this will be the opportunity to meet everyone face-to-face. I already know that folks are coming in from California. People are coming in from the South, for sure. And so this is the opportunity to, you know, to rep your region, right? Your folks will be there, so come on out. We really, really do hope that people join us. You know, this is really a labor of love for all of us, and I think it's really important to underscore that I cannot think of a more critical time for us to all be together to lift up the legacy of Dr. King and truly show what the fight for economic and racial justice looks like.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. So what do you think? Let us know. You know, have you been to an MLK conference? Let us know in the comments. in the past. What do you plan to do this year, especially when it comes to community service, no matter where you are in the United States or even Canada? Comment now to activate your voice about the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. Well, looking back at this day in history, we're going to look back to January 9th, 1939. At that time, the Southern Tenant Farmers Union led the Missouri Highway sit-down. 1,700 families had been evicted from their homes because landowners didn't want to share government crop subsidies. And on this day in 2003, the George W. Bush administration declared federal airport security screeners wouldn't be allowed to unionize because the president thought that it would complicate the war on terrorism. Now, that wasn't the case. The decision was challenged and eventually overturned. And after Bush left office, that's when it was overturned. Much thanks to unionists.com for keeping track of labor history for us. And here's what's ahead on our calendar of events, starting with labor education. These are the upcoming classes at the William W. Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center in Hollywood, Maryland. But if you would like to take IAM's basic web development class, the deadline is soon. You have until Friday to register. Keep an eye on the website for course descriptions and deadlines for other classes. And you can see the ones this month are Train the Trainer, Leadership 1 and 2 are taking place, along with Women's Leadership February 17th to the 22nd. And a reminder that a rally to end the government shutdown takes place Thursday at the AFL-CIO headquarters in Washington, D.C. More than 30 unions are taking part, including the Machinists Union and our affiliate, the National Federation of Federal Employees, otherwise known as NEFE. If you're in downtown D.C. around noon, stop by to hear speakers. There will be a march afterward to the White House about a block away. Other things that are coming up: as you can see, we have the Indigenous Peoples March coming up on Friday, January 18th. So they're asking you to be a part of the movement, be a part of history, be a part of change. And then the very next day, as we mentioned earlier, the Women's Wave is coming. The Women's March will take place January 19th, 2019. And a lot of people will be traveling there from the MLK Conference, with the theme, The Fierce Urgency of Now. That's taking place starting Friday, January 18th, the same day as the Indigenous Peoples March, and that will last all the way to Monday, the 21st. So that's in a little over a week. That is what's going to start. And then looking ahead to April, we have our IAM Women's Conference, April 2nd to the 6th, with the theme, Women Rising, Unite the Fight. That takes place at Bally's in Las Vegas. So you can register for that now as we speak. There's even a contest. If you would like to join the T-shirt design contest, you have a chance to win up to $500. So if you're an IAM artist, submit your entry by February 1st, just a few more weeks. We love seeing your designs, so keep sending them in. Just check our website for more information there as well. And looking ahead even more, we have the Voice Activation Conference, the IAM Communications Conference, run by the Communications Department here at headquarters. That takes place June 4th to the 6th at Planet Hollywood in Vegas. We're hoping all of our communicators sign up for that. So we'll get some great information about how to communicate in your territory, in your district, in your local, so we can share information, activate our voices, and get the word out about messages that are important to working people. Well, that is it for this episode of Activate Live. If you like what you've seen, we encourage you to please share this video. And we will see you next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on the same social media channel. Thanks for joining us.